Welcome our visitors. Welcome, welcome. Amen. Glad to see you here. So let's go ahead and get started. We'll do something a little bit different this morning. That's okay. I really believe this is about Jesus and me trying to listen to Him each week. So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you always. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here this morning in a safe place that's a pretty warm, safe place. And ask you to help us, help America. Lord, help us reach more people for Christ. Lord, we need you. We need you desperately, especially in America and around the world. So we just pray for our leaders from the top to the bottom. Lord, we pray for our military that's running around the country, protecting us and trying to keep us safe. And as always, we mention the foreign missionaries and the home missionaries. Thank you, Lord. That's what I was going to say. I appreciate that. But thank you and ask you to help me with this message this morning. And we do pause for a minute and remember those who are sick and suffering, that are at home with this COVID or any sickness or ailments. We just plead the blood of Jesus over them, and we ask that you to heal them, to make them whole, to give them what they need. You know what they need. Lord, let's pray for your mercy and grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. So the Lord reminded me there in my prayer that this garage sale that we planned this morning in our little meeting, this garage sale is to raise money for Annie Armstrong. And if you guys don't know who that is, it's, well, I want to get into that. But it's home missionaries. It's going to our North American missionaries. And it could be in the Appalachian Mountains or in Canada or wherever. You just these North American missionaries, right? That's right. And that's where this money that we're going to raise for our garage sale, all of it's going to go towards the missionaries, spreading the gospel. Amen? A friend of mine, he's an evangelist, and he's planning to go to Nicaragua, and he's asking if there's some people that want to go. So I'm kind of praying about it. I think it's going to be in June or somewhere around there. I'll get back with you. I just want to plant that seed and see if anyone might be interested in going on a foreign missions trip for maybe a week, you know, 4, 5, 6, 8, 7 days. So pray about that. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 42. 5 through 6. Psalms 42, 5 through 6. Now, if you're a church member and family, be patient with me because I'm going to back into Matthew chapter 11. This is not my dealings, but this is what God told me to do this morning. So if you're visiting with us, we've been going through the book of Matthew, you know, teaching through the book of Matthew. But this morning, we're going to back up into it. Is that all right? Can everybody make that special effect? When did we go? Okay. So here we go. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the scripture I have is in the NLT version, New Living Translation. I don't preach out of it very much, but I like this version. I actually... Chuck Swindoll loves this version of the scriptures. He actually has a new Bible out. It's in the NLT. And I like it too. I use it for studying and just reading and that kind of thing. And, Daring, our system up there does not have the NLT version. So, Dairy put up the closest version. But, I'm going to read it. Ready? Here we go. Psalms 42, 5 through 6. And the title of this message is Overcoming Discouragement. And you'll see where we're going in a minute. Psalms 42, 5 through 6. And this is the NLT version. It says, "Why am I discouraged?" If you look on the board, that word downcast, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it actually means discouraged. That's what it means. So anyway, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Even from the distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. And everybody said amen? Amen. So the title of this morning is Overcoming Discouragement. So my question is, how many, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you in here today feel discouraged? I guarantee you, half of you in here feel discouraged. And you love Jesus. And you're born again. And you're going to heaven. Okay? Maybe at one time in your life you felt defeated. Maybe disheartened. Or maybe discouraged at some point in your life. Now, I'll be a little transparent with you here. Because that's just the way I try to be most of the time. Okay? At several times in my life, I have felt defeated. I have felt downtrodden, discouraged, and downright depressed at some times in my life. Seriously. Many famous people in the Bible had hard times in their life. And a lot of them struggled with their emotions. So, if that's you today, welcome to the club. You were born into this club. It's called being a human being. Don't fall for the devil's trap of thinking you have to put on a happy face all the time. We can't. We're human beings. We're going to struggle. All of us struggle. Would y'all agree that everyone struggles? We all struggle. We all have problems in life. Things that come up. We have hills and we have valleys. That's just being a human being. Now, most of us that are mature in this room understand this fact that nobody's perfect. Nobody. None of us have it all together. God's called me to be the preacher or pastor here, but I don't have it all together. Please do not put me on a pedestal. You hang around me long enough, I'm going to let you down. I'm going to disappoint you. I'm going to say the wrong thing to you. I'm going to hurt your feelings, maybe. Make sense? Why? Because I'm just a human being. Just like you. And if I hang around you long enough, you're going to do the same thing to me. Doesn't mean I don't like you or you don't like me or we, whatever. It's just being a human being. Amen? The word discouragement. Let's look at that just a minute. It comes from the root word of courage. Now the prefix dis, okay, means the opposite of. So, discouragement is the opposite of courage. And when we allow ourselves to get discouraged, we can lose the motivation to press on, to keep going. And if we stay there long enough, hopelessness comes in. And that becomes a whole different animal. Right? So be careful, be on guard, be mindful of how you feel and how you think. Sometimes we feel like the mountain seems too steep. The valley seems too low and too dark. The battle seems too fierce, and we lose the courage to continue sometimes. It happens to all of us. All of us, and no matter what you do, I absolutely love being the pastor here. It's my dream. It's what God put in me a long, long time ago. Actually, I feel like He deposited that in me in 1989. 1983 in Calvary Chapel in Southern California. I was at church one day. I'd been saved, born again in Okinawa, Japan, with Marine Corps. We moved back to Southern California, and I was at a church called Calvary Chapel. Anybody familiar with them? No? No. They're all over the nation now. It's kind of a halfway between a Pentecostal and a Baptist. Really, it's a Baptist-costal church. But I happened to go there. A friend of mine, I was in the Marine Corps, led me to the Lord. He invited me to go to church. So what do? You go to his church, you know, and that was one of those churches. And it was great. They had great Bible teaching, and they had great praise and worship music, just like that, you know. And they didn't do all that funky stuff except on Sunday night, and I didn't go. Funky stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Pentecostals? I love them. I grew up Pentecostal, the Assembly of God Church. How many grew up in Pentecostal church right here? It's usually about a third of the church. How many grew up Catholic? Yeah, yeah. But Methodist, raise your hand. Yeah, yeah. See, we're like a big stew. This church is like a big stew, you know. Oh, my Jesus. Glenn made stew last night. I can't get sidetracked. I had to smell it all night, man. If y'all want some homemade stew, come over to our house for lunch today. That sound good, cold weather? Lynn's like, wait a minute. I got to clean the kitchen. Sorry. Many places throughout Scripture, God commands His people to be courageous. To be courageous. Here's a familiar story with you. When God selected Joshua to replace Moses as the leader of the Israelites, some of his first words, most of you can quote this, he told Joshua, he said, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. The Lord knew that Joshua was going to face some big battles. And He did not want Joshua to get discouraged to the point where he would give up. Amen? So, here it is. Listen closely. The key to overcoming discouragement is to remember. Everybody say remember. Is to remember God's promises and then apply them to your life. Don't forget. Remember His promises and then apply them to your life. That's true power. He will give you power, wonder-working power. He will give you power. Now, power is really, if you look it up in the dictionary, power means the ability to make something happen, to get something done, to move. Okay? Some people say that, you know, knowledge is power. Nah, not really. Applied knowledge is real power. In my profession, you know, as a counselor, I've seen many people that can quote the Bible but can't stay sober. They can quote chapters of the AA book, still can't stay sober. Amen? I know the Bible. Well, the devil knows the Bible more than me and you both put together. It's about applying. It's about being obedient to God's Word. You know God's Word. You remember Scripture and you understand the principles of living a biblical life and a successful life in God. Then you have to apply those principles. You have to apply. Don't be just a hearer only, but be a doer of God's Word. Can I get an amen for that one? That's changed. That'll change your life right there. It really will. When you start doing what God wants you to do, what God tells you to do, what God encourages you to do, start doing it. And you'll see your life. You'll see your life change. When we know the Lord, like I believe most of you in here do, when you know the Lord, we can stand upon the promises that He has given to us through His Word. Now, sometimes we might not be able to see it in our lifetime, but it's still, His Word is true. His promises is true. Do not give up on your children. Do not ever give up on your grandchildren. You hold on till the day God calls you to heaven, but you keep holding on to God's promises. Amen? Now, this knowledge, this is what I'm talking about right here, this knowledge is what kept Apostle Paul pressing forward. Plus, I believe, I have this little thing, I believe Paul was such a man of passion because he knew he had good news. He had good news. I got good news for you, Zach. I got good news for you, Zane. Good news. Paul kept pressing forward, preaching the gospel, and eventually he ended up in a Roman jail. Now, it sounds dumb, but he ended up dying in this jail. But he was happy and content in his heart. Philippians 3:14 says this, from prison, Paul wrote this. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus helped him press on through the persecution, the rejection, the beatings, the discouragement, because Paul's eyes were on the ultimate prize. The ultimate prize. He was so looking forward to hearing God said, well done, my good and faithful servant, friend. Amen. It's heaven, the ultimate prize. And knowing that God says, Glenn, you did good, son. You did good. Amen. Miss Elaine, God is going to say, you did good. You did good. All those things you did for people that no one else knows, God knows. He keeps good records. And He's going to tell you, you did good. You did good. Elaine, Amy, Mr. B, right on down, right? I believe that. We must keep our eyes on the prize. Keep our eyes on Jesus. It's really all about Him. And if we really understand, and accept the fact that it's God's battle, it's not ours. It's God's battle. It's not ours. Sometimes we can get discouraged if we try to battle in our own power. If we try to do it all ourselves, if we try to make all the decisions ourselves, man, sometimes it gets overwhelming. Should I do this? Should I do that? What should I do? Should I go here? Should I go there? What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Give it all to Christ. Give it all to God. Sometimes that discouragement could be like a warning light telling us, hey, we need to get a checkup from the neck up. Right? We may have to get along with the Lord. Maybe this is a warning light. Doot, doot, doot. Right? It's a warning light telling us that, man, we need to get some time away with the Lord and ask the Lord, search my heart, O Lord. You know? See if there's something in me that's causing me to feel this way. Or, you know, examine my heart, Lord. Examine my motives. What are my motives here, God? Is this about me? Sometimes we need to do that. Now, everybody ready? I mentioned a little earlier that many people in the Bible struggled with discouragement. Let me just name a few. Just a few. Ready? David, Jonah, Job, Moses, Peter, Elijah, Jeremiah, and Jesus. Now, if you struggle with discouragement, you're in good company. Even Jesus got discouraged. Jesus knew. He knew what was to come. He knew what was right around the corner. He knew that God had called him to a journey of great suffering. He knew what must happen in order for us to have eternal life. He knew what needed to happen for us to be able to live free on this earth. And Jesus was willing to pay the price on our behalf. And he knew it wasn't an easy road. It wasn't easy. Isaiah prophesied in chapter 53, verse 3. He said that Christ would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You see, we can be assured that whatever we face, whatever we're facing now, Jesus understands. He understands our weaknesses and our suffering. He understands our greatest times of temptation and our despair because he traveled down that road yet without sin. He understands what we're going through. Listen to this. In the garden, through the night, all alone, calling out to his Father, asking him for another way. Listen to Jesus' voice. Listen. Mark chapter 14, verse 34 through 36. And Jesus said to them, talking about the three amigos that were hanging out by the tree that went to sleep, but that's another story, right? Jesus said to them, listen, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. In Luke 22:44, this is the Bible says that so great was his anguish that he sweat drops of blood. Jesus understands what we're going through. The interesting thing is, through all these stories, Jesus' story, Moses' story, Peter's story, Jeremiah's story, all these stories, that God was with them. God was right there with them. Y'all know he said he'd never leave us and never forsake us. God was near. He was close to them. Psalms 34:18. Listen to these words. 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. I'll read that again. That is beautiful to me. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Really? Jesus sums up all this, I call it emotional stuff. He sums it up in where I originally was going to start today, but God changed me around, and that's okay. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30. One of my favorite verses, actually. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and I'll read it to you. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Remember your soul, mind, will, and emotions. Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now give me just a few more minutes and I got to explain this, okay? All who are labor and who are heavy laden. That word labor means to be weary, to just be tired, to be drained. almost to the point where you're about to crack. That word laden means heavy. It means too much. It's almost too much to carry. It's like being, I'm about to break. I'm about to crack. I'm about to break. This can happen to us as human beings emotionally and physically. A person starts to get to this point emotionally or even physically, they begin to say things like this, I just don't know if I can take it anymore. I just don't know if I can carry this load anymore. I don't know if I can take care of these people or this person any longer. I don't know if I can do this. I feel like I'm just gonna crack. I feel like I'm just gonna break. You see, because that word labor, weary, that is most of the time, that is what we put on ourselves. Stay with me. That is what we normally put on ourselves. Our worries, our shame, our disappointments, our past mistakes, our perfectionism, our secret sins, things that we have like unresolved issues. Those are things that we sort of put on ourselves and our mind and our thinking. That word laden is what others put on us. What others try to put on us, like rules and regulations and do's and don'ts and do right and be right and do what I tell you to do and those kind of things. Others try to put this on us. Others' expectations, they try to put those things on us. Society puts those things on us. TV, the news. Jesus is asking us here in the scripture to place all of our worries, all of our concerns, all of our ladens, all of our weariness and labors and all that stuff, all of our discouragements, all of our past issues. He's telling us to place them on Him. Lay them at the foot of the cross. Place them on Him. He can handle it. Matter of fact, He's already handled it. He put it on Himself when He was upon that cross. When He was beaten and bruised and whipped and He was nailed to that cross. The Bible clearly says that our sins, our iniquities, all the things that happened to us, all the things that we did, everything, all that was placed on Him on the cross. I want to encourage you this morning to place all that on the cross. Understand this. Give it to Jesus. You'll find rest for your souls. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Give it all to Him. Lay it on His shoulders. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Your Word is liberating. Comforting. It guides us, directs us in the paths that we go. It heals us. It corrects us. Lord, we love You. Thank You. In Jesus' name. Father, there's someone here today that's never met Jesus. They never accepted Him as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that during this song of invitation that we're going to sing, I'd be glad to talk with them and pray with them. And I ask that they would come down here and talk with me. We can settle up today and get saved, born again. Well, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.